Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hi, friends. Welcome into a Hot Corner Edition of the Firm of Harris and Marang. Patrick Harris with you. To my left, Joseph Fisher III.
Let's go!
Happy to have you here, amigo. It's been too long.
Yeah, like I said last time, you've changed, man. You've changed.
Big time in you?
Yeah, you're not yourself anymore.
I can't believe you said I big timed you.
When did I say that?
You said it to the Sunrise guys.
No.
We were talking the other day. Because you still work here at Odyssey. You're one of our talented AEs. That stands for account executive, I think. And we were just chatting about sports, I think.
Sports.
And Spraggy walked by and was like, oh, that's so cute. Do you guys miss each other? And you were like,
oh.
You were like, I do, until he big-timed me.
I'm just joshing. We're just radio bits, you know?
I suppose that's true.
I still love you. Yeah.
I suppose that's true.
We good. We good, baby.
All right. I just want to be sure.
Yeah, we're not in the same conference anymore, so you no longer have to bring up how your Cougs beat the Ducks 4 years in a row.
Whole recruiting cycle. I wish that I could bake a cake made out of rainbows and smiles, and we'd all eat it. Be happy.
That is true, but I do like to remind you that we did beat you. That's a full recruiting cycle.
You did.
Would have been five if it wasn't for that old Mariota bitch and his old Heisman Trophy campaign.
Well, bad timing to say that I hope that Oregon State wins this weekend, because that would be objectively hilarious. That would be
Let's go Beavs.
So funny.
It would be some of the worst thing I could think of.
That they're two FBS wins this year. Their only two FBS wins are both against Washington State.
Yeah, dude. It would be savage. It would be absolutely savage. It would be one of the saddest things to ever happen, maybe in my entire life.
It'd be a Thanksgiving miracle.
Because let me throw this at you, okay? Washington State has beat San Diego State, who's most likely going to win their conference, has beaten Toledo, who is most likely going to win their conference.
Almost beat Ole Miss.
Almost beat Ole Miss, who could win the SEC.
Almost beat Virginia,
who could win the ACC. Almost beat James Madison, who's going to win the Sun Belt. But we're 0-2 against Oregon State.
Sounds like a bowl team. Maybe.
Maybe.
That'd be brutal.
But if we beat Oregon State, you know, we beat the potential Pac-2 champion.
That'd be brutal, though. That'd be brutal if that's
the first
how you miss out on a bowl season.
First game's no counties. And I think that's what would kill me. No. Like, you lose to Oregon State a couple times, you're like, eh, whatever. But if it costs me bowl season...
After having those three games that you almost win... Yeah.
Dude, have you seen San Diego State of late?
Dude, no.
They house people.
No, they housed the Oregon Ducks last night in basketball. I did see that.
And we beat them 36-13.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough life. It's rough life being a football fan. It's rough life for me right now. I told you this morning, and I just don't know how to come to terms with it. And I kind of went through it yesterday with Lowercase over there, talking about the Hall of Fame class, the semifinalists for the NFL Hall of Fame class.
Oh, yeah? I saw my boy Rivers in there.
Yeah, Philip Rivers is in there.
Is he going to go, real quick, side note?
He should.
I think so, too.
I think he should.
I think so, too.
He's one of my favorites. Just love him. Love him to death. But it happened with that, seeing that list come out. And then it also happened last night. I'm with my son, and we're hanging out. And I said, hey, let's watch a movie tonight.
Okay.
Put down the video game controller. Let's watch a movie. So we're going through stuff, and he's like, I want to watch something sports related. He likes sports documentaries. He wanted to start a show, and I was like, that's not happening. do not have the commitment for
the
that.
The Glenn Powell show?
No.
I can't succumb to watching that.
He wanted to watch something sports related, and I was like, all right, well, let's find like a movie or a sports documentary. We jump on Netflix. And we're browsing through, looking at what's on there, and they have that Untold series on there.
Okay.
And the one episode that popped up that piqued his interest was Malice at the Palace.
Okay. I believe we all know where we were.
Oh, yeah.
In the Malice of the Palace.
I was in the palace. I was on the court. I was throwing bows.
I wrote a song because of me watching that Untold documentary.
Yes.
Yes.
Find that song.
I was the guy that...
Malice in my chalice.
You remember the what was it called?
Malice in my chalice.
That's amazing. I want to hear that too.
Song about lean.
You remember the guy that Ron hit who like looked like Turtle from Entourage?
Yes.
That was actually me.
Oh my God, that was you.
I was working at the old spaghetti factory on 164th in Vancouver. I don't remember if I was a server or a busser, but everybody ran into the bar to watch on the TV.
This was 2005, I believe. So I was at the ripe age of 13. So that would have made me right around Joey's age, honestly.
I'm 20.
I was
a server. I'm 20.
I was either 7th or 8th grade at the time. Quite honestly, it was probably the first time I probably didn't watch it as it happened. I was either playing video games myself. So, it piqued Joey's interest. I was like, do you know about this? Have you heard of this? And he's like, no.
Oh, so he's just going in fully blind.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, how many things in my life I would wish that I could go in fully blind. Like if I could watch Star Wars again for the first time, knowing nothing about it, that might be a genie wish of mine.
So I was like, okay.
Darth Vader's his dad. Whoa.
So I was like, okay, yeah, we're diving into this.
Okay. All right.
And so we're watching it and it's showing all the players. Jermaine O'Neal pops up.
Reggie in a cast because his hand was broken.
Ron Artest and Steven Jackson, and it's starting showing some Detroit Pistons players. But then, like, as we're watching it, Jermaine O'Neal pops up, and he starts talking about his, like, career, and he says, I was drafted by the Portland Trail Blazers, 17th overall. And he's like, he was a Blazer? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, so then I have to tell him the Jermaine O'Neal story.
Okay.
And as we're watching it, and then Ben Wallace pops up, and they start talking to him, and then I'm just like, God, I loved Ben Wallace. I was like, Ben Wallace was one of my favorite players of all time. And he's
who's
like,
Ben Wallace, Dad?
Yeah. He's like, why? Who's he? And I'm just like, I had to go like try and find, because I have a Ben Wallace card somewhere. And I was just like, oh, dude, he one of the best defensive players of all time. Just locked the paint down.
You're just peeling this onion back and going into more and more stories. How positive was the Jermaine O'Neal in Portland story?
It was, well, like, again, the context.
We're just going to go honesty here.
I think as I've gotten older and you understand the Jermaine O'Neal, he got drafted when he was 17.
I know.
And when he was traded, he was 20. Like, that dude was as raw as.
As raw.
The dude.
You think the Yong Bong is raw? Jermaine O'Neal was raw.
Yeah. At the time, he was the youngest player ever to have played in the NBA and recorded a minute. So I was like, when I thought of it like that, I was like, okay, maybe. Like, he just wasn't ready. And then he got to Indiana and was an absolute stud.
I was a Pacer fan. I'm aware.
Yeah. So as I'm watching this, and then I'm like, oh, hey, do you see who number one is for the Pistons? And he's like, no, who's that? I was like, that's Chauncey Billups.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, wow. I guess I forgot that. Yeah, he did play for the Pistons a long time ago. And I was like, wasn't that long ago?
And shut your mouth.
And so, like,
go to your room, Joe.
So, watching this documentary and then going through the Hall of Fame semifinalists yesterday with Casey and seeing, I'm starting to come to the realization that I am now like a sports old head. And I don't know how to take it.
Well,
I feel like my dad was like, oh, Larry Zonka, man. He was I love Larry Zonka. Just an absolute.
No one could bring that man down.
He's great.
I know Joe too, and that's very much a Joe too thought.
Dude, it's Marino. God, that guy.
No arm better than Marino ever. And Rogers,
So now I'm going through that last
Joe Burrow,
night. I'm watching this, and I'm just like, oh, Ben Wallace, one of the best defenders of all time. Just lock the paint now. And as we're watching this documentary, it showed a clip of when they lost to the Pistons the year before in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it was the year the Pistons went to the championship, 2004. And I swear to you, the final score of that game, game 6-7, what that Pistons beat the Pacers, it was like 69-65 or something.
Damn right,
like that.
Dude.
And Joey was like, oh my God, 69-65. I'm like, yeah, that was just a different ball back then, you know. That's just how they played the game.
That was my NBA, you know. These players today couldn't make it in the NBA back then. I'll one-up you on the feeling old.
I was, like, proud and embarrassed at the time. I was like, yeah, that was that's kind of how the games went back then. Sorry, bud.
The worst thing I have for me is the day I graduated high school, I applied to Clark College Community College. Clark Community College in Vancouver, all right? That same day, LeBron James graduated from high school and signed a $99 million deal with Nike. So I am forever looped in with LeBron James. We are both class of 2003. Mm-hmm. LeBron's birthday is in December. He's an 84, baby. I'm an 85, so I'm 6 months younger than LeBron James. And for the last 3 years, I've had to listen to people talk on the television, the radios, this fine program as well. That guy's old and washed. What is that old man? Look at how bad his hair looks. Like, is he finally getting gray? Why doesn't he just shave his head? He looks terrible out there. Old man LeBron. Old man LeBron.
Dude, to think that...
And I am old man Patrick now.
Well,
I don't even know if my kids know who LeBron James is.
Casey, you were 2 years old when LeBron James entered the league?
Yeah, I was born in 01.
When's your birthday?
September 8th.
Okay, so you were born shortly before LeBron made his debut.
Basically, when LeBron entered, like, the sports, like, world of, like, being known, when he was at, was it St. Mary's, St. Vincent's? Like,
yeah.
When people first started hearing of him, it was when Casey joined the world. 2003, that would put me at 11 years old.
2003, I'm a senior in high school, man.
A young, budding Patrick Harris, ready for the world.
Ready for the world.
This LeBron guy, he's never going to make it.
Washed.
Here we still
He's
are.
Washed at 18.
So, yeah, as someone says on the YouTube chat, Joe equals Unk. I am officially Unk.
Yeah.
Like, it is, and I don't know whether to embrace it and be proud or to, be sad and just feel like, now the good thing is that I still watch sports. Like, mm-hmm. My dad nowadays, like,
he's pretty checked out.
Yeah, for the most part, about everything. Like, he'll watch football.
Tomorrow he's going to watch football on Thanksgiving,
yeah,
sort
yes.
of thing.
He'll
yeah.
watch football, but as far as, like, what's going on in the NBA, no clue. He does not know what's going on.
Yeah.
I had to inform him of, like, Shohei Ohtani, who Shohei was, like, after the fifth year he was with the Angels, who are his favorite team. I was like, do you realize how good Shohei Ohtani is? He's like, I've heard he's pretty good.
Clearly not a P1 of the hot corner.
No.
Clearly not listening to our show.
Oh, no, dude. He would listen all the time when we were Sports Sunday. I don't think he ever caught an episode of the hot corner. No.
Wow.
Also, looking at that Pacers-Pistons series.
Joe, too, I am disappointed in
I
you.
I am, too. I am, too. From 2004, there wasn't a single game where either team scored over 90 points. For a matter of fact, no one scored more than 85 in that series.
Wow.
78, 74, 72, 67. Yeah, that game six clincher, 69-65.
Well, we can name this.
That's just defensive basketball, all right?
Just different era.
Today's
players are too coddled.
That's just hard hat, all right?
But to be fair, though, like, not to blow up that conversation, which we could easily do, if you look at the guys on that Pistons team, Chauncey Billups, fantastic defender.
Mm-hmm.
Rip Hamilton, solid. Tayshaun Prince, one of the most lengthy defenders we've seen.
Rasheed.
Say no more about Sheed.
Yeah.
And Ben Wallace is one of the greatest defensive centers of all time. And Sheed, no ball.
Darko Milicic.
Sheed, no ball. And, like, you know, the conversations about Rasheed Wallace, that if he actually gave a damn, could have been the greatest basketball player of all time. He was that good and he didn't give a damn.
Yeah, I think I even dropped I'm like, oh, there's Sheed. And he's like, Sheed. And I was
Sheed
like,
who?
I'm like,
God. Rasheed Wallace?
I'm like, damn it, dude.
Dude, my kids do not care about sports in any way, shape, or form. They probably look at me like, there he is again, watching whatever. It's like game five of the World Series.
That's sports ball.
Jeez. At least he's cool, because otherwise he'd be lame. Yeah.
So it was fun. I mean, honestly, and also revisiting that. I think I'd seen that documentary before, but revisiting Malice at the Palace, dude, that is that is absolutely wild that that happened. And then last night we had a brouhaha between Luka Doncic and...
Oh, I didn't see it.
God, who else? Who are they playing last
night? Oh, is that he was like waving at somebody, or he was just like saying, yeah.
Chris Dunn, I believe, was involved in there.
Chris Dunn.
Yeah.
Clippers.
Yeah.
I can't believe Chris Dunn's still in the league.
Oh, a little L.A. beef. Okay. Bloods versus Crips.
Hokely dokely. Well, we got a show for you today. Joe Fisher sitting in. Casey Smith on the ones and twos. We're having a party here on the biggest drinking day of the year. You can go ahead and get started whenever you like. I will be a T-minus away from partaking in that as well. It's Wednesday. That means we'll have Tyson Alger on, as we always do, at 10:30. Talk a little Ducks. There's a lot to get to. Where are we at with the ACC? Football galore all weekend. Web gems, the whole thing. I'll give Joe a chance to poo-poo on the Eagles, as I haven't gotten to that over the last few days.
Oh, dude, if we can keep that Cowboys win going for as long as possible, at least until tomorrow when they win again, then that'd be great.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock. So we got a great show. When we come back, we'll start a little Oregon-Washington preview and more the conversation of how rivalry week is born, how your rivals are born, and why you can't force stuff. There's a lot to get to here. The firm of Harrison Meringue, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
1020 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the Fan text line. Also the YouTubes. YouTube.com/1051TheFan. Joe Fisher sitting in today for Danny Moran because he talks like this.
Oh, yeah. Well, bud, that was almost me yesterday. Like, I agreed to do the fan happy hour.
Worst decision of your life.
Not
really. I think that show's fun.
Top three. I texted you like halfway into the first hour, and I'm like, God, solo shows suck.
They're so tough, man. I talked with Isaac Ropp about that yesterday. I was chatting with him. He was like, dude, nobody likes doing them. They're so difficult.
I hadn't done one in a while, too, and it was like, again, like half hour in, I was just like, oh, God, I regret this.
There's
so
a reason nobody here at the station does them. Some of us are better than others at it, but there's a reason we don't do it, because they're hard. And even if you look at the big dudes that do it, they've all got, you know, Colin.
I was going to say, maybe, yeah, I should have
Or like six dudes in the back room.
I should have made a Colin diatribe. I should have done a Colin Cowherd monologue is what I should have done.
And then replayed it at the top of the 2 o'clock hour.
So I was thinking about this the other day.
Let me get this straight.
Shador Sanders is like, you know, that friend you can't get rid of, but he's so cool and you want him to hang out. That's Shador Sanders.
Some of your thoughts on the text line. When Sheed was tuned in, he could not be stopped. That is the truth.
Yep.
Malice in the Palace was the best thing that could have happened to the NBA.
I mean, they would probably disagree with
they
that.
They would very much disagree with that. I don't think Stern was very happy about that.
I love how they came out with the dress code because of that, and basically no one adheres to that dress code
I know.
Anymore. Like,
I know your pain. I'm a month older than Peyton Manning. Yeah. Although he's aging gracefully.
Yeah.
He looks good.
Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
What is he, 43? 44?
Oh, really?
He might be older than that.
Yeah, I think he's older than that. He's got to be closer to 50 than 40. Because if I'm 40.
Oh, God, he's almost 50.
Yeah.
I feel bad I said that because of the listener.
You old gas bag.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's almost 50? Ew.
Well, if he's the 97 season and he played his senior year, listener, and I graduated in 03.
Listener who is a year older than Peyton Manning, you are not old, okay?
But Joe definitely hates you.
But gross.
Let's get into this, all right. The Oregon Ducks take on the Washington Huskies this week. It is rivalry week here at the Fan. They're all over the place. Michigan, Ohio State. The Egg Bowl is all of a sudden must-watch TV. I don't know if I've ever been more excited to watch a team that it should bludgeon another team more.
Oh, yeah, because that thing could get, like, right away interesting. You're like, oh, no. Oh, no.
If Mississippi State is beating Ole Miss at halftime, do the Vegas odds of Lane leaving skyrocket live betting?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So just
kinda, come on, Blake Shapen, get it done, buddy.
It just kind of got me thinking about it. Like, what a better time. There couldn't be a better time than, like, Thanksgiving weekend to have your rivalry week. You know, it makes me sad. I'm sure Beaver fans out there are sad that our games are not played.
Well, you got a rivalry,
during this time
slot. You got a rivalry game this weekend.
Don't do that to me. I got nothing but love for Beavs. You can't drum this up. And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, despite conference realignment and everything being kind of weird, like, Texas A&M is back. That's a hard rivalry. And now it's conference.
This is the friendliest rivalry I think I've ever heard of.
I don't know if I've ever met a single Beaver that I don't like.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm sure there's some bags out there. There's bags out there from everywhere. Yeah. But,
Was that an Oregon State fan or a Washington fan that was peeing in the concourse a couple of years ago? I think that was a Husky fan that was actually doing that.
I don't think that's us. That doesn't sound like us, dude. We go to bathrooms because pee and throw up at the same time.
No, I think it was a Washington.
Yeah.
It was Oregon State, Washington. Mm. And it was at the Oregon State at a Reeser. And there was video going around of someone, like, at one of those tabletop, what do they call the tables that kind of go up to your, like, mid-chest?
I have no idea.
I don't know. The high top.
The high top.
Yeah, high top. Yeah,
thank you. And there was some dude just taking a whiz underneath one of them.
Well, see that.
Out in the concourse.
See, that can start a rivalry because then you're like, you know what? Screw that guy. Screw those fans. I hate that school. You know, we had that a little bit in Pullman, you know. One of the biggest reasons why I used to bang on the Ducks so much, now I don't care because we don't play the same sport, was because they would come to Pullman and they'd act like a bunch of jerks. And we couldn't stand for that. Now, Oregon and Washington sit here in their rivalry week, and they clearly hate each other. And there are no Huskies that I've met. In fact, I might argue that I've met more Duck fans that hate UW than Huskies that hate UO. And that could be proximity. That could be just where I live. But I know a ton of Huskies, too, from my rivalry days with them. And they're like, yeah, we hate Oregon. To where, like, Oregon fan is like, I will murder you, rip out your eyeballs, and pee all over your brain.
Or on your concourse. I would say that, yeah, as things have changed and there is still the conference attachment, that, yeah, the hate between Oregon and Washington is bigger than Oregon, Oregon State now.
Yeah, I mean, it's bigger than Washington, Washington State. We had Chris Fetters on from Dog Nation. You know, he's a friend of the show, and he's kind of our UW guy. I was trying to get him on this week, but we just, short week, we ran out of time. And he's, we talked to him on this show before the Apple Cup, and I asked him, you know, like, how much are you going to miss this rivalry? And as much as I love Chris and his work that he does up there in Seattle, boy, I was very upset with his answer. His answer was, this is not a rivalry. It's rivalry and regional only. No Husky cares about Wazoo.
Wow.
And boy, did that boil my blood.
I was going to say, that got you.
Because then that gets me really angry, because that's how you build those rivalries. It's that mutual hatred, and especially big brother, little brother situation. When they start poo-pooing all over what you do, that makes you want to absolutely destroy them.
Well, and I will say, speaking as...
And that's why we play hard against UW all the time. Could have beat him this year through three quarters. Should have beat him last year, or 2 years ago with Michael Penix. Yeah. We did beat him last year.
You did.
Take it from the Oregon State fan. When the Beavers beat the Ducks and came back, was it down four scores and just ran the ball all over them in the second half? That was one of the greatest feelings I think I've ever had as a Beaver fan.
I don't remember that. As the Oregon fan, I will say, though, I don't like the fact that the Civil War has become just a meh. We don't need to play it kind of thing. Like, I personally, and it's easy for me to sit here because Oregon is in a position where they're
one of the top programs in the country,
and they're usually going to end up winning that game. But I, in a world of college football that is being capitalized, being turned into more of a professional, semi-pro, whatever, that is, you know, changed drastically over the last 5 years. The rivalries, the hatred between schools, the pageantry, the passion. This is why, like, over the last year or so now, like, I started to drift more towards liking college football, the NFL, because just the care and emotion in, especially, like, in the crowd at live games. Like, you watch an NFL game on Sunday, the crowd is sitting, like, 90% of the time just chilling on a Sunday. Whereas at college games, fans are yelling, going crazy, and obviously it depends on the situation. I mean, stadiums are full, bands are playing, and so the idea of when Oregon State fans or even Oregon fans are just like, yeah, we don't need to play that game anymore. I'm like, dude, no. Like, that, I love that game.
One of the most wild things about that, and we'll get out on this, is I hear more people talking about not wanting to play the Civil War from an Oregon State perspective.
Oh, 100%.
Than Oregon. Yes. Because, like, let's take Lanning's comments. We didn't play Chattanooga State this weekend. I love that shot at the SEC. But they could easily schedule another Montana. Look, Oregon State's bad this year, we know, but it's not always going to be that way. They could easily schedule a Citadel, an extra FCS team in those 3 weeks before you really get into conference play, and they choose to sacrifice one of those to play Power Four. And I think that's great, a Power Four caliber school in Oregon State. I think it's great that Washington does that with Wazoo as well. I find it very strange that it's the Beavers that don't want to play Oregon. It feels to me, and I don't want to take shots because I know they're down right now, and the fan base is in a tough spot, and the Scott Barnes stuff is a disaster, and who knows what's going on coaching. It might be vegan. It sounds like it's going to be vegan, but I know it's easy to feel down right now, but it shocks me, dude. You will never, ever find true diehard college Coug fans that say they don't want to play the Huskies. Because, dude, if they blow us out for 4 out of 5 years, but we catch them once, dude, boom. It is so worth it. It is so worth it.
It's a good point. I haven't even thought of that. Is that, yeah, I would think that, yeah, there's something about the Washington State fan base where it's almost like they've always had this, like, us against the world mentality.
And a lot of us live in Seattle. Yeah. So you're, like, in the lion's den.
Yeah.
You know, it's like here, this town's a mix of Oregon State and Oregon. You should be at each other's throats all the time.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, obviously Washington State fans are pissed about everything that's happened, but Oregon State fans, for some reason, maybe it's just seeing what Oregon has turned into, like, this whole, like, they seem just more upset about all this than Washington State fans.
It reminds me of Eli Manning after he throws a pick.
the disgust, I smelled a fart face.
Just the, like, poor us.
Yeah. I've run pretty tired of the whole, I don't want to play this game anymore. And it's just like, dude, I get why you feel like that.
Totally,
but,
man.
Yeah,
I'm
Washington State's
too.
Not like that.
I'm pissed off, too. We're trying to go to a bowl game. Pick up by your bootstraps, kids. Yeah. Damn kids.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. We'll give Tyson Alger will join us here. We'll chat a little recap of the USC game real quick. Then we'll look ahead to the big rivalry weekend and what it means for Oregon to not only win this game, but setting themselves up for a college football playoff, hosting potentially a college football playoff game. We'll do all that next. But first, we'll toss it to Casey with sports. All right, we are joined, as we always are every single Wednesday, by the great Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor, Lookout, Eugene, Springfield. Tyson, good morning. How are your Thanksgiving plans going for the weekend?
You know, they're going pretty good. I just filed my last story for the week before the holiday. Kind of looking at this weather. I'm heading up to Seattle a little bit early. Not sure I want to brave this rain on the I-5, but you know, that's why I'm the corridor guy. So we'll do fine. We'll do okay with it.
Well, good, man. Well, in case I forget, I hope you have a great holiday weekend. Let's dive right. Let's get back into what we saw over the weekend as the Ducks take down USC 42-27. Where do we start with this? Was there ever a moment in the beginning of that game where you thought things might get a little sideways, or did you kind of expect it to be a little cagey like it was?
You know, when USC scored on its first possession, I was a little bit worried that we were about to get into like a track meet. Mm-hmm. Just because of what we had talked about with USC's passing attack. And obviously the big thing was trying to limit explosion plays from that offense. And then we saw a few of those like from the get go and was like, okay, here we go. Like Oregon's offense is going to have to be primed for this one. And what we kind of saw was an offense that played pretty well, but I'm just continually impressed with Oregon's defense. Like they did allow some larger plays, through the air, but like by and large, like they were very consistent in that game, and they were able to shut down the running game and make USC one dimensional. So yeah, it's just one of those games where it was nice to see in good weather against a good opponent, Oregon's offense kind of play like we saw earlier in the year. But by and large, like I've just been so impressed with the consistency of this defense and just what they bring week to week to each game.
Well, one of the things that this Oregon team has been talked about for this season is the depth at different positions. But the first time that we saw it on the offensive line this last weekend, were you just as shocked as I was at a lot of Duck fans that they were able to plug and play some guys on the offensive line that, I mean, Charlie Pickard, for example, last year, he had a rough season last year when he had to play. And then he came in and he did great. I mean, were you surprised? You followed the team a little bit closer, so maybe you weren't, but I was shocked at how well those backups played for the offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, just take into account what Dante Moore had to deal with in that game. I mean, like, coming into it, we know they're already down to four scholarship receivers. At one point, Jeremiah McClellan left for a few series, and he only has three guys to throw to, and we've seen throughout the year that Moore is – fantastic when everything is going his way, but like in games where maybe the line hasn't been great, like that's when he's really kind of gotten a little bit more erratic. And so in this game, you're losing one of the best centers in college football, and then all of a sudden your left tackle who's protecting your blind side is out too, and so you have two guys in there who haven't played a lot this season who are playing on a line that's been a little inconsistent week to week, and they played great. I mean, Dante looked so comfortable in that game. He looked confident. It didn't really look like they took a step back with those guys either in pass protection and pass protection or in the running game. I mean, this was another game where I don't have it right in front of me, but I think the Ducks were close to another 200 yard rushing performance. Dante was efficient through the air. I know he had that one pick, but overall, like being able to find Kenyon Sadiq, turns out that guy's pretty good. And if you don't have anyone else to throw to, just mash that Sadiq button. But yeah, like I think the biggest thing I took away from that game and just from Oregon as a program in general is, you know, we've talked a lot the last 3 to 4 years about the transfer portal, and that's where the Ducks have gotten a lot of their impact players, you know, whether it be Bo Nix or Dylan Gabriel or Tez Johnson or some of those stars. But, you know, one of the things over the last couple of years is the Ducks have compiled back-to-back top five recruiting classes. I think they have three top 10 classes in the last 10 years. And what you've really seen is you've seen that talent that's coming in bring the floor up too. So like, yes, like there are a lot of those headlining transfer guys, but like the Ducks just have so much depth there. So like they are able to throw in guys at receiver, throw in guys on the offensive line that are a lot better than the Ducks had death-wise in the past years. So I just think that this is a program where, you know, obviously it's not ideal to be losing starters, but I think that they've just built themselves into something that where they can not only weather it, but they can actually still play pretty darn well against a quality football team.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. Check out his work. It's always great stuff. Joins us every Wednesday at 10:30 to talk Ducks. I don't know if you felt this way, but my eyeballs, I was fortunate enough to be at the game. My eyeballs told me two best players on the field were Mekhi Lemon and Kenyon Sadiq. And boy, they are both as advertised in the eyeballs. I know Mekhi Lemon's stats weren't amazing, but I think you could see with your own eyeballs why he is so hyped. But I want to kind of flip it to some people that had some struggles. And mostly, when you look at this USC receiving corps, Tanuk Hines has 141 yards. Jacoby Lane has 108 yards. Both have six catches. Brandon Finney did not have the best game. Now, he's going up against maybe one of the best wide receiver groups in all of college football. Is that a concern for you going forward, or is that chalked up to a little bit of youth, or is it kind of we knew they were going to throw the football, let's prevent the big plays and just let them have some and not freak out?
Can I take a little bit of all three on that one?
Sure.
You know, Finney's been fantastic all year.
I would agree.
He's a true freshman. He's going to be a true freshman All-American. I think he has a case to be included in at least one of the regular All-American teams as well. I mean, at 6'2", athletic, he's so rangy. But, you know, we just saw the Ducks play about a month's worth of teams that can't throw the ball, that don't have star receivers, that don't have a Mekhi Lemon and company. And so, yeah, the Ducks did allow, and especially Finney allowed some explosions in this game, and they did get beat at times. But I think it's a mixture of, you know, Finney guarding the best receiver he's probably ever seen in his career, a USC offense that knew out of all the things that it could do that throwing the ball was probably how it was going to get its yardage. And yeah, like I think it's a mixture of a guy kind of getting his feet wet and getting his reps in. He didn't have the best game, but also like I don't think this is a huge worry. Like coming into this game, like the Ducks knew that if they could at least make USC one dimensional, they were going to be okay. And so, you know, looking at a guy specifically like Lemon, I believe he had two touchdown catches, but his yards weren't all that impressive. So like they were able to keep him in check somewhat, but you know, USC was going to get its yards in some way or another. And so like, I'm not as concerned. And, you know, kind of going into this Washington game, Williams is a great passer. The Huskies can run the ball a little bit, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to take the top off quite like USC was able to on Saturday. I mean, go back and look at that first half. I think USC was on pace for like 600 passing yards after like the first half, and the Ducks were able to kind of shut that down a little bit more in the second. So I think it's a learning process, but yeah, at some point those guys are going to take some licks, and it's just a matter of how you bounce back from it.
Speaking of just opposing offenses and what they're able to do from the passing game, I want to look at the running game. How the hell are the Ducks able to just consistently shut down the run? I mean, another great game from them that they allow USC to just – 52 rushing yards the week before against Minnesota. It was 62. Iowa, 101. What are you seeing that is just able to be the consistency in stopping the run week after week?
Well, they have those two real big boys up front in Bear Alexander and Amari Washington. I you know, when you have about like 650 combined pounds up the middle like that, that's a pretty good wall. I thought Bear was great in this game. He's played pretty good the last month after transferring from USC last year, and a lot of people kind of questioning his motor and motivation. He's turned into a great player for the Ducks. And, you know, you kind of mix that with just like the athleticism they have on the edges. You know, for example, I know Mateo Uliangalele hasn't posted the same type level of stats that he did last year, but I thought he was great in this game. He had a sack, he had a couple tackles for a loss, and I think just kind of the overall speed along the edges mixed with the size, and then, you know, behind them you have a pretty good guy in like Bryce Betcher, who had 13 tackles in that game along with a rushing touchdown. I just think Oregon's front seven is incredibly athletic and very sizable, and that's kind of their bread and butter right now is they can shut you down on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Bear Alexander, because, I mean, Amari Washington had a lot of attention coming into this, and there was a lot of question marks about Bear Alexander, what he's going to do this year, and you're right. I think, really, since that Penn State game, he has been showing out week after week.
Yeah, and that was so important for this team, too, because I do think that, like, some of the unheralded guys from last year's team, you know, you look at, like, a Derek Harmon, who was a pretty high draft pick and didn't, was kind of like one of those also-ran guys coming into last season and really solidified that line. I think we definitely have a similar situation this year with Alexander and also Washington.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's get into rivalry week here as the Ducks take on the Huskies from Seattle. And we'll kind of gauge what the Huskies are going to have to do to shut down. Because, boy, I'll give you a sneak peek. I don't think it's going to be pretty. We'll do more with Tyson next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Looks really hot.
Tyson Alger joins us from the I-5 corridor. Lookout, Eugene, Springfield, as Tyson always does every single Wednesday. We're happy to have you, bud. Thanks for sticking around for one more Seggy. Let's get into this rivalry weekend. Look, I don't know if it's my Coug color showing or what. I think you should never underestimate your rival. When it comes to these, I mean, for the first time in maybe a long time, everybody's eyes are glued on the Egg Bowl. But I just don't see it from this Husky team, as they've really, in my opinion, struggled over the last few weeks to really give Oregon a run. What is it going to take for UW to make this a game on Oregon? Or can they rest a little bit on the just pure and adulterated hatred for each other?
Yeah, you know, I've always found in life hatred gets you places. I think.
Well, I work with Danny Morang, so I think I've heard that as well.
you know, so there might be some mileage there. I mean, look, like Husky Stadium's a tough place to play, especially when they have something on the line. I mean, obviously, like they're eliminated from the playoffs, but I think it would be pretty fun if you're a Seattle fan to put a big old limp into Oregon's playoff chances. So I think that's going to be a pretty raucous environment. And you know, Oregon does have some nightmares in that stadium. I remember being right even with the goalpost as Camden Lewis missed a couple years ago. Bad game for the Ducks there. But I think looking at this one, you know, this is a much better Washington team than the one that they smoked last year. I think their program has gotten better, not only on the field, but you see their recruiting rankings rising, and that's all great if your coach doesn't leave. But I think the Huskies have a fair amount of anxiety with Jed Fish and some of those open positions. But yeah, I mean, like this is a quality team. They have a fantastic quarterback who's really efficient with the football. He can move around too. I think he's got 400 to 500 rushing yards on the season, which is concerning if you're the Ducks and you kind of look at some of the holes in their defense, whether it be third down efficiency. The Ducks are just really bad at getting the stops when they absolutely need to, and they're pretty bad in the red zone as well. So I do think that this is a Washington team that, you know, if they can get into kind of third and short situations or get into the red zone, I do think that they have the weapons to be able to advance the football and score. But, you know, I think the biggest opportunity for Washington in this game is they're a pretty stout run defense. You know, I know we've said that for a few weeks in a row, whether it be Wisconsin or Iowa or even Minnesota. You know, that was kind of like the big focus for those teams. It's like, if we can make the Ducks one-dimensional, if we can make Dante Moore throw the ball. The Ducks, I believe, are 15-1 over the last 2 years when they rush for 200 yards or more, and the Huskies don't let that happen that often. So if the Huskies can be one of the first teams this year to figure out what the key is to stopping a Jordan Davidson, a Noah Whittington, or whoever the Ducks throw out there, I think this can be, I don't think Washington's going to win, but if it gets close, or if they can hold it close, and if they can make sure they don't get blown out, then the X factors kind of come in, then the crowd comes in, then the rivalry comes in, then, you know, potentially the weather comes in. So I don't think Washington has the horses to stick in this game, but if it's close, throw everything I said out the window, because that's when kind of history and the rivalry comes into play.
Well, and that's where I'm looking at, like the Vegas betting angle, Tyson, is that this game right now is Oregon 6.5, which I remember last week.
A bigger spread against USC.
Yeah. I mean, when I heard that last week, I was just like, take the Ducks all day long. I think what we've seen from Washington this year is when they play elite defenses, that offense does not show up. Ohio State, Michigan, they're not elite, but Wisconsin has a really good defense. It's the top 35-40 defense in the country. What am I not seeing that Vegas is? Because to me, this should be double the spread that it is, at least.
I mean, there's a chance that Vegas is just looking at it and going like, okay, Oregon's played pretty well 3 games in a row with just 4 receivers on the roster. What are the odds that they can do it 5 in a row? Or, you know, maybe they're taking a look at the offensive line and being like, okay, we don't know if Poncho's going to play this game. We don't know which of the tackles are going to play this game. Maybe at some point the Ducks show some attrition because of all these injuries. Like that's really the only thing that I can figure out there, because if you're wanting to talk about going on the road and playing in tough environments, Penn State was pretty tough. You know, I don't care what their record is right now. That was a very tough road game. Iowa was pretty tough. I don't care what their record is right now. That was a very tough road game in tough environments in a game that doesn't necessarily fit Oregon style. So, they're used to doing this. I think Washington is about on par, probably talent wise, or competition-wise with maybe an Iowa, but I just think that this late in the season, I think the Ducks are just used to it. They have all these young players that we talked about at the start of the year that didn't have the experience and needed to kind of get in the flow of the season. Well, this is the 12th game. Like as Landon keeps saying, like none of these guys are freshmen anymore when it comes to playing time and availability. Like I just think there's too much on the line for this Ducks team, and I can't imagine how much Landon wants to beat like a decent Washington team instead of just kind of like the rollover like last year, because he's still 1-3 in his career against the Huskies, and this would be the biggest one for him to get to this point.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. We'll get you out on this. Damon Williams is gonna face a new challenge. I loved Lanning's poke at the SEC over the weekend and not playing Chattanooga State, and kind of talking about the depth of the Big Ten, which I think is a little overblown. But when you look around the nation, you see people in kind of their cupcake schedules, looking at Ohio State and Texas A&M. Oregon seems to have played teams of all different shapes and sizes. If they go out and can prevent a true mobile quarterback like Damon, is there really anything else you need to see from this team to tell you that they can make a deep playoff run?
I think that would be huge for them. you know, as I said, like the Ducks have been very sound on defense this year. They've just been bad in like certain particular down and distances and situations. So I think they haven't quite had to stop someone like Williams this year. I think that would be a big step forward for them. But like also it's just, it's still weird that here we are in the 12th game of the season. And like, I still don't know how Oregon projects out against some of these other top level playoff teams that are coming in. I think Oregon deserves to be where they're at. I think they're a good team, but you know, when you get to projecting out, you know, how they'd fare against an Alabama or whoever, or a Miami or whoever, I think it's just hard to tell because I do think the Big Ten has been very top heavy this year. That being said, too. Like, I still don't think Oregon has a battle off. That Indiana team was pretty good. That's the only game that they've really kind of fallen on their face in. So I think just with the consistency of the running game right now, I mean, it's just like week in and week out, you can schedule in about 175 plus rushing yards from this team. And I think that really, really will play for them going into the postseason. And especially here at Washington, when you're playing a team that's a rivalry game that you want to be physical, that you just kind of want to hurt some guys in. I think the Ducks have the legs here at least to make a little bit of a run, but I think some other teams are pretty good in this country as well.
All right. I got to ask you this, cause I know you were there. How was the environment at the Providence Park, Portland State Vikings game against the Grizz? I know that you were in attendance. I'm pretty sure that one Jason Sukanik was even in attendance. He told me that he got a media pass. I'm sure we're going to get the hard hitting journalism article from him here soon, but what was the environment like for you, Tyson?
Yeah, I've been waiting on his like 5,000 word piece. You know, like that's why I subscribe.
Keep waiting, bud.
I'm walking around on the sideline. He had better seats than I did. We had a great time. I mean, it's something that I think I probably took for granted when I moved here 10 years ago, of just like football happening at Providence Park. And you know, I know this city isn't necessarily gaga about the Vikings, but to actually like have Portland State play in Portland instead of out at Hillsboro, that was really cool. For Bruce Barnum's sake, I wish that would have happened way earlier in his tenure, because like good luck recruiting any college student when you're not going out and even showing them the stadium. But my Montana alums really showed up. I think there was like 9,000 or so in the park. The Grizz looked pretty good, and then they looked putrid last week against the Cats, but we're not going to talk about that game. But yeah, I'm all for more football at Providence Park, because it's a beautiful park right in the middle of the city, and it's kind of just sits there vacant on a lot of Saturdays in the late fall, so why not?
I have a feeling there's a great chance that Jason Sukanik was the largest human being on the sideline there. Just kind of how the cookie crumbles.
I think Portland State could have put him in for a couple of snaps, and it might have helped a little bit.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. I do this every time for you, bud. Go ahead, pump the brand. What you writing this week?
Okay, so in like an hour, we have a beat writer back and forth with Christian Capel. He's the Huskies beat writer for On Montlake. So we dive deep into what this game means, not only for the season, but for the rivalry. And then tomorrow I have a piece on Brock Thomas and just kind of his route through Eugene and actually kind of randomly some high level baseball teams that kind of paved the way for him to be the backup quarterback at Oregon. So that's coming out on Thanksgiving. That's all I got for you guys. And great. I got to eat some turkey too.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So go check it out. The I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. He's Tyson Alger, joins us every single Wednesday. Thank you again, my friend. Have a great turkey day and enjoy the game. Travel safe.
Hey, you guys too. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
He's Tyson Alger every Wednesday, 10:30. We went a little long, so we'll wrap it up. We'll flip this over on the other end and kind of finish up a little chat about UW and Oregon. 503-864-6326. How you feeling out there? Let us know your thoughts. I'll read some on the other side. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.